Brother Chuck spoke briefly about the ages to come. And this in itself is a huge topic. And I don't wish to, Brother Emil had set the stage to be brief. And others have talked about going home and digging. And I just want to lay this before you as a topic to consider further, because we could spend the rest of this time and more so looking at it. But if there are ages to come, as in a time period, that would mean that the time period that we are in is going to end. And if we look at some of the other words that we have read that are scattered throughout this book, we have seen things like in chapter 1, verse 10, my translation says that administration suitable to the fullness of times. In other verses, we read the word stewardship. In different translations, I believe the King James says the word dispensation. And this is a truth that is, in many regards, lost in Christendom in general, and is a problem because it doesn't allow for correct interpretation of the entire Bible. And what happens if we mix up dispensations is we take truths that were applied for Israel and apply them to ourselves. We hear perhaps of something called replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. And we mix up things that are promised for the Gentiles, and then we sort of start combining all kinds of things, and then just sheer chaos ensues. And so I just wanted to give you a couple thoughts about this idea of a dispensation, just to give you to whet your appetite and go and dig for yourself, because this is an important topic. God administers the affairs with man in a different period, in different ways, and these are referred to as dispensations or stewardships. Sometimes we use the word order or economy. They're not necessarily a period of time, but it's just the manner in which he conducts the order. And a quick example would be if you look at your house when you were an infant, or perhaps even before you were born, there are some newlyweds here. Your house is structured with your husband and wife. But when a child comes, things changes. The child automatically thinks he's the center of the universe, or she is. And so things change. And as the child grows older, guess what? The rules change. And there are different things that happen in the house. And as more children come, it changes again. And I wouldn't consider giving the keys of my car to my 2-year-old, but I would consider giving the keys of my car to my 17 or 18-year-old. And so there are changes again. And that's what we would find when we look at these. And why is it important? Well, Timothy exhorts us to rightly divide the scriptures. And the division through dispensations are things that need to be rightly divided, to separate the things that are for us and not for someone else. To give you an example, in Genesis, we read of Cain killing Abel. But God puts a mark on Cain. A little later in Genesis, it says that if you shed innocent blood, then your blood should be shed. Well, that's a change. Why does that change occur? There's a change in dispensation. And if you're careful, you can go through and find many of these changes. So I would just encourage you, as we're looking at this word administration or stewardship or dispensation, that this is a topic worthy of your consideration and your homework.
I want to emphasize again as we move on, because we need to cover ground, the uniqueness of this epistle, that you are not being saved in this epistle. You are addressed as those who are saved in Ephesians. You heard that perhaps from the platform the other day, that this is an epistle where you are not at the end of the road saved, but you are addressed as to one who has now already been saved and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's no rapture in this book. There's no talk about the Lord Jesus coming in the book of Ephesians. We are in him. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a wonderful thing, that the very faith to believe he gave me. He did the work. It's a work of God in us. Remember where we were? We were dead. There was nothing to respond. There was no way I could look to him and do anything. But he did all that was needed. Not only did he save me, but he now teaches me that works, good works, have a place in my life. Not before conversion, but after I've been saved. I am his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is how my life should be characterized here. It shouldn't be hard to see that I'm a Christian. If it is, there's something wrong, isn't there?
So, Brother Chuck, if I come to you and tell you that I think salvation should be by work, I have to work for my salvation, what verses you give me? In Ephesians chapter 2.
Verse 9.
Okay. Can you write that down? Somebody comes to you and says salvation is by work. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9.
Comment, as well as question. Verses 8, 9, and 10 make it just so clear again that we had nothing to do with our salvation. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then in 10 it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We didn't even have a role in our own creation. We didn't have a role in grace. We didn't have a role in like our works. Our works had no role in our salvation. And then my question is, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. What is God preparing beforehand? Are those the good works?
I'm reading from the King James, so I don't have any difficulty at least understanding here that he has ordained, he has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. He has marked it out that this is what should be seen in the life of a believer here. I ought to be characterized by good works. Be careful, Titus says, to maintain good works, okay? They are really the evidence that this one belongs to Christ. So I don't know what others would say.
I think that's the important part right there, because there's a man, if a man is outside of Christ, an unbeliever in this world, it's possible by nature to do things that are morally good. But he's speaking here of those things that are the direct result of my relationship of being in Christ, and so that the works that flow out, the life, in other words, that flows out of that relationship as being in Christ, is a life that is Christ-generated and living in this world.
It reflects him,
little Christs.
But isn't that, give me a second, Alex. It's really amazing, because I want you to look at it as the word workmanship, okay? Because that will explain everything. The word workmanship, it's actually the same word as symphony, okay? So how many of you here are very, very talented musician? There are many of you. No, Chuck, please. Don't quit your day job.
Play a radio.
All right. Seriously, have you ever seen a symphony? In a symphony, there is a conductor standing, and he's conducting everyone. Everyone has a piece to do. Now, I could be a great piano player, but I just don't go and do my own thing. I am looking at the conductor to see how his hand is moving, so I could do my part. I could walk in the work that was already prepared for me. There is a sheet there, right? That has all the notes in it. And I don't know anything about music. I cannot even read music. So if I make a mistake, John, you help me out later on. There is a sheet there with all of the music notes written on it. Okay? I don't have to create my own notes. The work is already done. All I have to do is look at that conductor, see how his hand is moving, look at the notes, and I walk in that work. I do exactly what I do. If somebody decided I'm too smart, I'm going to do my own stuff, it would be like, right? Very ugly note. So that is really the workmanship. It's a symphony. We need to look at the conductor. We need to look at the notes and just keep walking in it in very simplicity.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, I think. Hey, I like it. But I was thinking much along the same lines. And this is one of those predestination questions. On the one hand, we come to Christ and we want to do the works of Christ. On the other hand, we find that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and that God has already planned what it is we're going to do. These are two sides of the same coin. That's what we have here, I think.
I just